Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is the first year of my life, as most of you know, that I've had to wear readers. And I love them.
Yeah.
I tried contacts for about 30 seconds. Dan tried to put contacts in my eyes for a little bit longer.
That was a time.
Contact experiment for Dana was a dumpster fire, and we're not going to go back to that. I love my readers. How long have you had glasses, Dan, and can you see up close or not?
I am nearsighted, which means I can see up close, and I have worn glasses since I was 6 years old.
So I am farsighted. I can see everything far away.
Yeah, but you can't see anything in front of you.
I can't see anything right in front of me. And Sam?
Stumbling over everything.
You've always had glasses, right?
No, I got glasses probably 2 months after I started here because I was reading on a computer screen for 8 hours a day.
I did not know that because you're young to have that happen. Well, Sam found this story.
I can see just fine. It's just a computer screen.
Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, we see a lot of headlines that come across our tablets and phones and computers and stuff. And as we sift through what we want to share with our listeners, and he found this and I did a double take. It's one of those stories that when you see the headline, you're like, wait, what? No. And this is from CNN, but you can find this anywhere. One in three children worldwide is now nearsighted, meaning they can see up close, can't see a darn thing far away. One in three. When did this start? Why did this start? And we are thrilled to have pediatric ophthalmologist Dr. Emily Brockstermann joining us. Thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are. I cannot believe this headline or that we missed this headline. It's probably not a surprise to you, given what you do for a living.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. I appreciate being on the show. This is something that we've been trying to raise awareness in the United States, but really worldwide for several years. If you look over in the southeastern country or the Southeast Asian countries like China, Taiwan, Singapore, they have levels that are up to almost 90% in some of those countries as far as their levels of myopia in children. So it's a worldwide problem, and it's just now starting to take hold here in the United States.
Why?
So studies, there's no direct correlation to say this is 100% the reason. But most of the research has suggested it's because our lifestyle for the children has changed.
Yeah.
If you look a generation ago, two generations ago, young children spent their time outside, running around, distance activities. And now you look at children and most of the time is spent indoors, whether it's iPads, screen time, and even just reading, the level of homework they have, reading activities. We don't do all those distance activities anymore, and we don't spend as much time outside. And so the thought is that that change is what has sparked this rise in myopia.
So does that suggest that kids' eyes are not learning to see distance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So what they think happens in these young children is that as they grow older, the eye actually elongates more than what it typically or traditionally would. And so as that eye gets longer, where the light focuses in the eye is progressively farther away from where it's supposed to be, and you need a higher glasses prescription to fix that. And so they think it's because the eye is actually growing and getting longer, which may be stimulated by all the near activities we're doing.
How do children come into your clinic then? How, especially with young children, do you figure out as a parent that this is now an issue?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, older school age children, you get the classic complaints, they're squinting at the board, things like that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, this is detected on screening exams, that most children don't have symptoms. And that's why it's important to do those screening exams with a pediatrician, with the schools. And even if you have a family history of it, bringing your kids in to be seen. We see kids since birth on up, and we can detect visual impairment in kids as young as, you know, babies, before they're even a year old. And so once you know about it and once it's on your radar, you have the ability to intervene and try to prevent them from getting to these high levels.
And doctor, is there any, this seems like a ridiculous question, but we've obviously seen the trend shift with the lifestyle habits. Can we shift our lifestyle habits back to more outdoors? And will we see a shift back to less nearsightedness, I guess?
That's the hope. There's all sorts of campaigns worldwide to try to raise the level of awareness for countries all over the world. Once you've developed that level of myopia, there's no way to take it back. So a child that's already gotten to a high level of myopia, we can try to slow it down and keep it from progressing more, but we can't turn the tide and reverse that dial. But if we can make systemic changes, the idea would be the global trend would be that we see in future generation, in future years, less children with those high levels of myopia.
It's fascinating and sad at the same time. I think this is one of those stories, doctor, that people, once you read what's happening, most people really aren't going to be that surprised. But I think society should be sad, especially for kids in lower income households where they might not have access to the care that would catch this. I don't even know if they still do eye exams in schools anymore.
Most pediatricians' offices will do them starting at 1 year of age, just a little camera screening exam. That's usually what happens. The challenge is there's some kids that don't get brought to the pediatrician on a regular basis, or they're homeschooled, or they're in a school district that just doesn't have the resources for it. And so there are a lot of kids out there that get missed, and this doesn't get picked up until, you know, that we're kind of behind the eight ball and trying to play catch up.
I'm going to ask you to look in your crystal ball a little bit. We know early onset myopia can lead to all kinds of more serious vision problems later. Do you see a scenario where in 20 years or 40 years, we have a soaring population of people in the United States with, you know, glaucoma or cataracts or going blind?
I think there's potential for if we don't change the tide and those numbers increase and we follow the suit of, you know, those Southeast Asian countries that have those, you know, 90% rates of myopia in children, I think that's possible. The thing about myopia now is that there are things, if we detect it early, we have things that we can do. It doesn't stop it completely, but we have treatments that can slow that progression down to try to prevent kids from ending up with a high myopia. And so we have treatments available. The challenge is getting those children in early enough to detect it to be able to put them on those treatments.
Do you know, doctor, was the same true for adults after the advent of the personal computer? If you go back in history, when as adults, we all started looking at screens at work, and I don't even know when that was, 30 years ago, something like that. Was there also a shift in the adult population, or is this something that has just impacted the little ones?
It's mostly with the little ones. Yeah. The children up to the age of around eight or so, that's when the part of their brain that's in charge of vision is growing and developing. And so that brain is much more elastic and plastic and pliable. And so these environmental impacts are much greater on that developing brain. And that's part of the reason that they have such high levels of progression is because they're growing, they're developing, and that brain is just much more sensitive to some of these changes.
So when my mom used to say, you're sitting too close to the TV, if you keep doing that, you're going to go blind, she was kind of right.
Kind of. Yes, kind of.
I love it. Dr. Emily Brockstermann with the University of Kansas Health System, a pediatric ophthalmologist. And I wish we were speaking with like great news about our children, but I don't think folks are going to be surprised. We're going to take some calls on this. And we thank you so much for your time, doctor.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Be well. 913-586-7798. Have you seen this in your own children, or are you in education? Are you starting to see this in the classroom if your school still does the vision test? Remember that? When we were growing up, you would get this spoon. They would have a plastic spoon. And you would put the big spoon over one eye, and you'd have to read the little things
they
on that thing.
They still do.
But do schools do it?
In the nurse's office, they most certainly do. Well, at least they did 10 years
we
ago.
We used to have to also take our shirts off for the scoliosis test, which I think, looking back, someone should be jailed
and
for
we
that.
Used to eat those little red tablets that would make your,
for your
and you knew who wasn't brushing.
Look who doesn't brush their teeth.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you that when I was in school, they also still did the scoliosis check. You just left your shirt on and it felt your spine.
So invasive. 913-586-7798. And we will take your calls on this straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.